This is OPB's Quick Take Northwest for Wednesday, the 2nd of April, 2008. I'm April Bear. My friend, all good things must come to an end. And I'm afraid my time hosting this podcast is no different. Starting Monday, I'm going to be off of Morning Edition and on to a brand new beat as a reporter, running all around Oregon and Southwest Washington, chasing down stories for you to listen to. The man taking over in the big Morning Edition chair is none other than my colleague Christian Fodenvenzel. I've been spending the past couple of weeks breaking him in. I wanted to let you know that the podcast is going to be going through some different changes, too. Up to this point, I've mostly been bringing you our spot stories, that is the short version. We're going to start podcasting the longer feature breaks that happen at 6:51 and 8:51 in the morning. Now, this still means you'll be getting the most important news of the day, and you'll be getting it in a little bit more in-depth format. So this is going to start on Monday, April 7th. Just wanted to let you know a couple days in advance. Now, the story I have in front of me this morning is just so bizarre, I think I have to lead with it. Do you remember the Craigslist host that we told you about in late March? A Southern Oregon man named Robert Salisbury found that his belongings were completely ransacked after a posting on Craigslist said that he was leaving the country and everything was free. Well, now, police in Medford think that the whole thing may have been an attempted criminal cover-up. They say that two thieves were responsible. Ethan Lindsay reports.
Police arrested a Medford couple on Monday for allegedly posting the Come and Get It ad on Craigslist. The Jackson County Sheriff's Department says Amber and Brandon Herbert put the ad online to distract law enforcement. Police say the Herberts admitted to stealing horse saddles and other items from Robert Salisbury's garage. They deny they made the Craigslist posts. But Detective Lieutenant Rich Fogarty with the Sheriff's Department says officers tracked two Craigslist messages to a computer owned by the Herberts.
Baffles me why people would see something on Craigslist and just buy it at face value that it was legitimate and then refuse to obey the demands of the property owner.
Salisbury, the unlucky homeowner, says he's still missing more than $1,000 in unreturned stuff. Ethan Lindsay, OPB News.
California's state Senate has approved spending $5.3 million to restore salmon habitat at a time when ocean salmon fishing off the Oregon and California coasts may be cut off by the federal government. On Tuesday, California lawmakers sent the bill to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He has not taken a position on this yet. The money for the restoration would come from a water bond that was approved by Cali voters in 2006, and it would match about $20 million the federal government has made available for salmon projects. The Federal Pacific Fisheries Management Council is to decide in Seattle this month whether to end the salmon season for the year. Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality is proposing rules requiring businesses to add greenhouse gas data to paperwork they file with the state. The rules are tied to a 2007 law setting carbon dioxide reduction targets. DEQ planner Marianne Fitzgerald says companies that already file air quality permits with the state would be the first to submit this new greenhouse gas information.
These are the facilities that would have larger boilers or other pieces of equipment that would be most likely to emit greenhouse gases. Other kinds are our smaller air contaminant discharge permit sources, and there'll be about 400 facilities that have these air contaminant discharge permits.
Fitzgerald says in year two, wastewater treatment plants, landfills, and large power plants would have to file carbon dioxide data as well. The public will get a chance to comment on the proposed rules at a meeting next month. Activists around the world yesterday were marking Fossil Fools Day, an April 1st event to draw attention to carbon emissions. In Portland, several pranksters on a downtown sidewalk tried to seduce people into buying infidelity offsets. Pete Springer reports.
With music and balloons and donuts, the mood was light, but the message was not a joke. A group of activists took aim at the Climate Trust, a nonprofit that sells carbon offsets. The activists say carbon offsets make about as much sense as cheating on a spouse and then buying a cheating offset. Brian Sloan says carbon offsets make it seem okay to pollute as long as you spend money to offset your pollution.
If we instead are spending a lot of time and money in hoopla focused on individual actions that really only the rich people can afford to buy these offsets, then we're getting distracted from the real problems that are going to affect all of us very soon down the road.
Two employees with the Climate Trust stopped to chat with the activist. They pointed out that offsets are not the only solution to global warming, but simply one of many ways to deal with climate change. Pete Springer, OPB News.
Washington's Governor Chris Gregoire got her pen busy yesterday, signing several bills into law after the 2008 legislative session. The first was an update to Washington's two-year budget. Gregoire made $15 million in line-item vetoes from a variety of programs. She says the cuts mean that more money will be left in the bank for next year.
I'm leaving more than $850 million in a surplus to ensure that we can meet the needs of the future. One of the largest supplemental budget surpluses in our state's history, at a time when about 30 of our fellow states are facing significant deficits.
Republicans have consistently criticized Washington State's Democrats for failing to leave enough cash in surplus. They predict the state's going to face a big deficit next year. Gregoire says if that happens, the state will have some manner of managing its way out of the red. Gregoire also signed into law yesterday the United States' strictest limits on toxic materials in toys. Again, though, she vetoed sections of this bill and is appointing a work group to come up with ways to amend the law next year. Austin Jenkins reports.
Gregoire clearly thinks the toxic toys bill is flawed, but she signed it into law anyway with several caveats. She vetoed out two sections, she made it clear the law does not apply to internal parts on electronic toys, and she wants toy makers and child health experts to meet and come back next legislative session with ways to improve the law. Toy makers lobbied the governor to veto the bill, warning it would leave toy shelves in Washington State bare.
I talked to the CEO of Hasbro. I think we've established a great working relationship over the last week, and I believe that we're not going to see anybody leave or throw up their hands, that they're going to come work with us to get the job done.
The new law sets strict limits on lead, cadmium, and phthalates in toys. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
In sports news, U.S. consular officials say that two basketball players from Portland State University are in a Mexican jail today after an altercation left a third student badly beaten in the resort town of Cabo San Lucas. Jeremiah Dominguez and Scott Morrison have been implicated in the beating of 23-year-old Kyle Meager of Michigan near a nightclub. Consular officials say that it was Morrison and not Dominguez who delivered the beating. According to the consular office, Dominguez got in trouble when he ran from the police. I see the Oregonian is reporting that the two were released from custody late Tuesday. Depending on terms of the bargain they reach, they might face further legal action when they get back to the United States. In other hoops news, University of San Diego coach Bill Greer says that he interviewed for the vacant job at Oregon State University but hasn't accepted it. Greer says discussions are ongoing, but that's as far as it goes. Oregon State fired coach John Jay January 21st when the Beavers were 6-12. Oregon State went winless in the Pac-10. Forecast is going to be pretty nice today, but let's take a minute to reflect on how much snow we've been receiving over the course of the winter. Heavy snows have left the often dry southern part of the state with a generous, even stunning topping of snow. Ranger Steve Johnson has been taking water content measurements for 20 years. He couldn't believe what he saw at the Siskiyou Summit at the Oregon-California border recently. The snow water content was 559% of normal. When we say snow water content, that's a measurement that's an important indicator of how much water is being stored naturally for summer stream flows and reservoir storage. It's good for fish, for water skiers, fruit and grain growers, and of course for city water systems. Snow surveyors measure the water content by pushing a hollow tube through the snow down to the ground and then weighing the snow core sample. If it's snow you love, don't get too excited today, though. We've got beautiful sunny weather and warmer temperatures all across the region. Coast and the valley can expect highs in the upper 50s. For central Oregon, high will be somewhere between 50 and 55 today. It's another cold night tonight, though, with near-record lows in the 15 to 25 degree range. In the Eastern Gorge today, temperatures from 55 to maybe 65 degrees. And for the rest of Eastern Oregon, we'll be feeling it in the mid to upper 50s, with mountainous regions probably still 45 to 52 or so. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Signing off, I'm April Baer.